Dad Bod's Media Machine presents the Brews with the Dudes podcast.
I don't have anything to drink, so it's kind of weird.
Yeah, it's like the middle of the day, so we're not drinking, unfortunately.
Yeah, we're not. I mean, we could be, but you know, you might pop out a baby any moment. And
Not me. This is Herberts and Gerberts. This isn't pregnancy.
Well, I mean, you're Herberts and Gerberts, you could be very fond of it.
Oh yeah.
And then you might pop out a baby.
Baby.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Brews with the Dudes podcast. I'm Jake Lindquist.
I'm Donnie Allen.
And we're coming to you live from the stall in the back.
Yes.
That you guys rarely get to see. But here we are.
It's got lots of cool stuff though. It's got the tail end of a 50s shoebox.
Yes, it does. It has the new hotness, which I don't know if you guys can see it.
Hey. Do the gangster.
Yeah, line. I'm going to have to like maybe move that so the people can see it a little bit better. But yeah. We're just testing something out here. We're not going to be doing our normal podcast because we're recording in the middle of the day and we're just testing equipment out. As you guys can tell, things look a little bit better.
Yeah.
Not us.
I got a haircut.
Yeah.
Not really.
I lost a few more hairs.
No, we are actually using the Sony A6300. To shoot our video today.
We are.
We have an external battery hooked up to it.
Yeah, it's really funky. So it's a dummy battery. Yep. That looks like a regular Sony style battery, and that plugs into the bottom of the camera and actually runs to an inverter that, you know, plugs into your wall basically. And then we've got a video capture card that uses the HDMI output of that camera and runs it through to the computer. Does all of that witchcraft in the background, and that's why we look better, not physically, but on video form.
Yeah, so we're giving it a shot, so sorry if there's any technical difficulties, but you're probably pretty used to that if you're watching
yeah.
this.
Yeah, exactly. If it's anything that has us in it, and we're the ones filming it and responsible for it, there's likely a glitch at some point.
Yeah, and we have a new laptop as well. The old one decided it just didn't want USB input sometimes.
It was weird.
And it would just be like, 25 minutes ago, you don't need that anymore. And it would cut it out.
And it was so random. So we would record on OBS, and then at about, like, sometimes 45 minutes. It was usually right around 40.
Yeah.
But then there was even a couple of times where I think 18 minutes was once, 30 minutes.
Yeah, 25 or 30 minutes. And
yeah.
Anyway, so.
It just drop it. It dropped the audio.
Lots of new things we're trying, so bear with us if shit hits the fan.
Yes, definitely. Would that be your baby?
Yeah,
could be. Yeah, we're still talking about the you might give birth thing.
Maybe.
Okay, well, that one was a dud, so hopefully your child won't be.
Oh.
Am I making you nervous? You've thought about all these things. You have enough kids.
Yeah. Kids, dogs, we're good. Too much life in the house.
Pretty much. Oh, tell me, how is your horse?
Our lap dog?
Yeah.
he's getting better. His puppy training classes have been a lot of help. But he's still a puppy.
Oh right. Well, he's a 150 pound puppy.
Yeah. So the biggest thing right now, he's not pawing as much, but he'll come up and he'll headbutt you for attention.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
And will he headbutt you in the head or in the butt?
He did actually yesterday. I was chilling in the movie room, and he's like, "I want to watch what you're watching." So he sat next to me. So we're both same height now. And he's like, "Okay, now I want you to pet me," and just goes like this, and just right in the side of the head.
Oh my god, did it hurt?
No, but it caught me off guard because he's strongest enough to knock you over.
He doesn't inflict pain when he does this.
No, it's just
okay, that's good.
It's just pet me, I want attention, so he just goes and nudges it.
Well, so like our dog, he's just got that crazy puppy energy, and it's all oral. Like everything is like he wants to nip at you, he wants to lick everything. He's
all the play bites, all that kind of stuff.
Play biting big time. And yesterday, like, so we were all playing outside, and we had some family over, and then Steve and Katie came over at one point, and so we were just kind of like picnic thing. Kids just basically spending the entire day outside because it was like our first taste of summer.
It's like 80 degrees.
It was gorgeous. And so the dog was outside on the run most of the time, which is right next to the play area. It's all within our fence. And at one point, Atticus was running over, and he was playing with the dog. And then all of a sudden, the dog just like playfully, which didn't look playful, but he grabbed hold of Atticus's ankle and Atticus started squealing. And from my, because I'm like, I ran up and I'm standing over the two of them, and of course the dog is way down at the ground, and Atticus is, it's the ankle, and Atticus is screaming like this dog is tearing into him, and the dog was making growly, playful noises. So I was like, oh, something like went haywire here, and he's biting my kid's ankle. Yeah. So I smacked him upside the head, because you can't just pull him away. No. If you pull him away, those teeth are going to dig in and just tear, you know, yeah. It'd get ugly. So I just smacked him in the head, and then he like flips, he kind of like backs up like, oh my God, you know, and my poor son is just like panicked. And it was this like, you know, dramatic moment. And afterwards, I asked Chloe, I'm just like, was I in the wrong there? Should I have not hit him? Did that not look as bad as I thought it was? And they're just like, we didn't really see it. So I went right into dad mode of like, okay, I have to protect my child.
Yeah.
Just smacking the thing.
I don't think you over, like, you're right there on the line. You could say you overreacted, but at the same time, I don't think you overreacted.
Yeah.
Because you have a split second of, is Atticus going to get hurt, or is this just a puppy wants to play, Atticus doesn't want to, and...
Exactly, and exactly. That, so you're always, like, trying to make sense of those situations.
Yeah. No, I think you did just fine.
My Spidey sense said, like, oh, this is, like, beyond play. This is, like, is he actually trying to hurt him or something like that? Because I didn't know. Maybe Atticus stepped on him or something.
Yeah.
Like, that pissed him off, and those things can kind of happen sometimes, so...
Like they pull hair and dog... turns around and stabs,
yeah, and yeah, like reacts or whatever. But I mean, we got him from a rescue, but we got him as a like 12 week old in a rescue, so he most likely didn't see any shit.
Yeah,
but likely. I still was in that state of mind of like, well, is this dog got a problem, is this sketchy, is this like a dog flipping out that we just haven't seen yet? So anyway, that was all the things that happened.
It sounds
yesterday.
Like he's fine. I mean, Atticus could be a little kid overreacts. My kids overreact.
Oh, totally.
You know, like,
he was tired at this point, too. Yeah. He was really wore out, so he's extra dramatic.
So he's extra dramatic. You just see that, and your first thought isn't he's tired and overreacting. It's just like, holy shit, you're squealing. Like,
yeah,
you
pretty much. So the real question here is, do you have a crib set up in the Volkswagen bus?
Kind of. I have a tote.
Yeah. it's kind of like, isn't that like what Jesus was? They had him in the manger. Like,
manger?
They just had him in a tote with some straw hanging out of it.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, if Jesus was born today, you know, they'd probably be in a tote.
He'd probably be in a tote. Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, we don't have like as many wicker baskets available anymore, or whatever the hell he
really
was in.
Tote, yeah, and totes are way cheaper.
In a basket in the manger.
I mean, if you look at cribs or even a pack and place, it's 30-40 bucks just to start.
Oh yeah, totally.
A tote's like $6.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's a problem.
Definitely,
I mean,
the way to go.
Mary didn't have a lot of money. She was a single mom, or about to be a single mom, or at this point was a single mom.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That's what those wise men were. They were really just like relatives coming out. They're just like, yo, you need some frankincense. Yo,
yeah,
you need some myrrh, whatever the fuck those are. Which is probably some kind of like drug, because the mom was just so stressed out about being single
probably.
Mom.
Here's some ancient here, weed.
Smoke
Chill
some
out.
Smoke this frankincense. Yeah, they're just like, we got you. Yeah. Maybe they were like people she partied with back in college. That's the wise men, actually, where they were the wise men. The guys carrying. Cool, cool. So, I mean,
right,
with your kids, you had them out in the garage at a pretty good age,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Well, it always depends on what I'm doing. If I'm grinding and stuff like that, I kind of held them off until they got a little bit older. But Harper's been out there since she was 3. Roman's been out there a couple of times. She was actually out there today as we were welding, had a little welding helmet on, getting to watch aluminum get melted.
Boing.
And we were out there cutting stuff as well. I was like, okay, you need safety glasses and earmuffs. And dad's just standing there cutting stuff without earmuffs or safety glasses on.
Yeah.
But it's like, you're the one I'm concerned about. And just the rule of thumb is, if you don't listen, you go inside. You don't get a warning. It's
right. That's a good plan.
You listen in the garage.
Yeah, well, exactly, and it, because your kids, or well, your daughter particularly, I don't know how stoked your son is for the garage yet.
He's okay. he tried to be out there, and then the moment the grinder came on, he was like, no.
Freaks him out. It's pretty scary sound.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's the beauty of it. Like, when your kid has a, I'm going to call it a get-to. So a get-to is something they want to do. They get to do it. When there's things like hanging out in the garage is a get-to for her, then it's really easy to leverage that experience with, you got to listen to me. Mm-hmm. Because it's a dangerous environment, oh, yeah. So you kind of have to already do that. But it's cool that you can integrate that and go like, yeah, well, you get to hang out with dad in the garage and watch welding.
These are the rules.
But if you don't listen, you could legit get hurt.
Yeah, I told him, like, you can be in here. We're going to be welding. You either A, need to have the helmet on, or B, you're going to go stand in the other corner of the garage and wait.
Yeah,
those are your two choices. I don't want you. I don't trust you not to look, because I'm 30, and even I am, like, I kind of want to look.
Oh, yeah, totally. You know? Totally. Well, it's so cool that you could throw the, she could throw the hood on and actually, like, watch and see how it works.
Yeah, she thought it was pretty cool. And I got a cute photo that he also told me.
Oh, no kidding? Everybody. Yeah, that's awesome. Well, in TIG welding, especially with aluminum, these things don't generally release a ton of stank.
No.
And you're not welding mill-scaled steel or something.
Exactly. I mean, and it's nice enough to say we had the doors open, so it was well-ventilated.
Yeah. Yeah, that's super cool.
She was doing really good until our neighbor came outside, and then she loves our neighbor. He's awesome, older, retired dude, and she'll go over and she'll just bullshit with him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she didn't tell me she was going to go over there and bullshit with him. Ooh, so boy. I turned around, and she's not in the garage anymore.
Oh, boy.
And I'm like, it's cool that you're talking to Bob. I don't mind that you're talking to Bob, but you need to tell me you're going to go say hi to Bob.
Yeah.
Don't just
That's walk. Kind of get, an important deal.
You get detail. That heart moment where your heart just drops. You're like, oh, shit.
Oh, my God, where's my kid?
Yeah, where'd my kid
Oh, my go? God. And then your idea after that is my wife is going to fucking kill me because she said, just keep an eye on her. She can be out there, but keep an eye on her.
Exactly.
If you can't manage to do that, then we're, you know, this is over with.
Yeah, so, I don't know, she was fine. She went and said hi, came back. But her favorite thing to do in the garage is clean. She likes cleaning in the garage.
Wow.
So, like, Cody picked up all of his welding stuff, loaded up his truck. And
is she available tomorrow evening? Because I need to clean this thing.
Take her. Yeah, she have a little brush for the top of the workbench and a dustpan. And she's like, is this garbage?
That's
pretty
cute. Nope,
hang on to that. And she puts all the stuff that's not garbage in a pile. And she just swept up the top of the workbench. And
wow. That's too cool.
Like, awesome. Cool. I get to be more productive because now I'm not picking up after myself.
Well, exactly.
And you get to help dad. So it's a win for everybody.
That's so funny. Help dad. You've managed to parlay it into help dad.
Help dad in the garage. God,
that's so funny. It's a get-to.
Yeah.
It's a get-to that benefits you, man.
Yeah, well, she's gotten to do, as she gets older, there's some things she just gets to do that brother doesn't get to do.
Yeah.
Like being on the back of the Grom.
Oh, right.
Yeah, she got to go for a ride yesterday because it was gorgeous out.
Yeah, that's too cool.
And we don't do busy streets and slowly venturing out a little bit longer rides here and there, but I mean, mm-hmm. a 10-minute ride is pretty much what we're doing. Oh, Peter?
No. You keep talking. I'm just going to show the people the fart
because
we're going to talk about motorcycles.
Hell yeah. Yeah, so she got to go on about a 10-minute ride around West Duluth, and she got yelled at halfway through because we're going down, cruising at 30.
You can probably see that a little better.
And all of a sudden, she just does one of these. She tried to reposition herself.
Which
is fine and dandy. But okay.
Sorry about that, guys.
I'm like, I had to pull over. I'm like, you can't do that.
Right.
You need to understand that when you move the entire bike.
Well, yeah, that's one of the things people don't expect when they ride on a motorcycle for the first time, is that, like, your actions very much also affect what the motorcycle is doing.
Exactly.
So you have to partake in that ride.
So she... I gave her, you know, like, remember, you need to listen, hang out. If you need to reposition, that's fine. But, like, wait till we're stopped. If I'm at a stop sign.
Yeah.
Or even if you just tell me, like, hey, I'm not comfortable. I need to get readjust. That's cool. I'll pull over real quick.
Mm-hmm. So you won't have that problem as much with a heavier bike.
Yeah.
Your bike's so light that it's, like, I feel like it's very responsive.
If somebody sneezes when I pass them.
Yeah,
you can feel it on the bike.
Well, yeah, I mean, if like an 80s F250 drives past you, you're probably gonna move a little bit.
Yeah.
So, I guess one of the learning curves of motorcycles is, like, not only is the size, like, it's at least in some of the bikes that I've ridden, the bigger the bike, it's a little slower to respond a little bit. Little teeny bikes, like you, it feels like you're just like a bicycle.
Like, oh yeah, just, like you can almost just move it. It's super easy.
Yeah, you kind of can, like, oh, with a Grom. You literally can. So yeah, I suppose having a person like riding two up, if you've got somebody on the back who weighs your weight, or even in this case Harper,
it's she like 40 pounds
shifts her weight hard enough one direction, you're like, I'm feeling the bike moving and doing things.
Yeah, but luckily it's such a small bike that it's you're not really worried about laying it down or anything dumb, you know.
Well, yeah, not so much.
It's like, okay, well, if we're gonna get unstable, I'll just slow down and just put my feet down.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, that's a good point. So speaking of bikes, I had alluded earlier to picking up a Svarti. So I don't know, you guys can kind of see it back there, and maybe I'll overlay a little bit of video of it. But so what I picked up was a 2021 Husqvarna Svartpillen. Which I know that sounds hilarious. Like, wait, what kind of weird language did you just say? So Husqvarna is a they're a company that's been around for ages. I think they're one of the oldest motorcycle brands. I think they started in like 1904 or something like that. Damn. As an official brand. I didn't really say that old. They're like one of the first.
Oh shit!
Yeah. And they have built some insane bikes over the years. Some of the fastest production bikes. It's pretty wild. At least at the time, they had built some pretty insane ones.
Still, to push the envelope consistently for 115, 16 years?
Yeah, building years? Cool shit for a long time. Dirt bikes, especially dirt bikes, enduro, stuff like that, for quite a while. So they just got back into the street bike scene. And unfortunately, so Husqvarna was originally from, I think it was Sweden. They're a Swedish brand. Right. And then they ended up getting sold, or they were purchased by an Austrian company. So they're technically an Austrian company now. So they, back in, I think, 2015 or somewhere around there, maybe it was actually older than that, because they've had these bikes a little while longer overseas. I remember seeing the first concept bike rollout at one of the major motorcycle shows. And I absolutely fell in love because they have a version of this called the Vitpillen, which is the cafe racer style. This one's sort of a scrambler cafe. Yeah, they call it a neo cafe, meaning that it's like sort of like a new aged, you know, sort of a new iteration of the old school style.
Yeah, but it's still gorgeous.
It's ultra modern, but with that cafe racer kind of style to it.
You kind of get the best of both worlds.
And in this case, so I had the option of the two of them, the Vitpillen being the very much road bike, has, you know, grippy street tires on it and much lower handlebars. It's got like the clip-on style. In this case, they attach to the upper triple clamp. So it's very like low down, very aggressive riding style. And what I was really looking forward to having was a scrambler style bike. I was getting rid of my CT90, which was a 13 or 12 horse or something like that motor I swapped onto it. It was really fun, really fast, or really fun, kind of fast.
It was quick. We'll go with quick.
Quick little thing. And it was fun because I could just ride it on anything I wanted to. Even though it had street tires on it, I could just drive it through dirt because it weighed absolutely nothing. So it's like, if you got to drag a foot or something like that because you're starting to lose traction, it's fine. Anyway, the next step up was that I wanted to get something in a scrambler style that had some knobbier tires. So if I go camping, it doesn't matter that I just drive off into the woods or whatever.
But you can easily do with that.
Yep. So here's where we landed. This is a Svartpillen, meaning that it is the scrambler style. It has Pirelli Scorpion tires on it. It has like a metal shield on the exhaust. It's got luggage racks on the top of the gas tank. So it's got the like ultra modern neo cafe look to it, but it's also got all of the racks and stuff like that built onto it.
Yeah, you're not gonna be like taking it off jumps and stuff like that. But if you're out in the woods,
you can. They've done it. Beat the tar out of these things. That was part of the reasoning for getting it.
Yeah. I like the idea that you can, like you said, you can go out into the woods if you're chopping wood down or whatever, or if you're just cleaning up trails. You're like, oh, I need to move this, and just kind of put it on your rack and get moved around a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you could do that. In a lot of instances, the bike's really built to be like an urban commuter bike. Nice. So it's an urban commuter bike that has sort of like that scrambler look to it. I wouldn't straight up take it out to work. Okay. To work and do stuff. Not quite to that level, but if I'm going camping out in the woods, I'm not worried about taking it down a trail.
Oh, nice.
It doesn't have the best ground clearance like a dirt bike would, but you know, it's kind of like you got to know what you're getting yourself into. You're not going to drive through mud puddles or I should say swampy stuff.
You're
with
not
it.
Forging your own trail to go camping.
No, not really. But yeah, anyway, so it's a super cool looking bike. It's got a 44 horsepower single pumper,
which is nuts.
Which they have the 701, which is like a 68 horse or 70 horse single pumper. They've got this crazy counterbalance shaft inside these motors that it doesn't shake you to shit. Like
really?
When it's at idle,
just nice and smooth.
It doesn't feel that much different than like a two cylinder bike does.
Oh shit.
Yeah. It's incredibly, it's smooth. It's just the weirdest thing. It sounds goofy. It's a really goofy sounding motor, but, yeah. So there we go. That's my Sephardi.
The new heart. Yep. New hotness.
New hotness for sure. So we'll shoot some videos on the Dad Mods channel. I've already got a bunch of parts on the way to do some modifications to it.
Yeah, I kind of hate you because of it, if I'm completely honest. Because like I said, now you're kind of making me wonder if I should go for a slightly bigger bike.
Yeah, I had wondered when you were going to want to grow out of the... And I shouldn't say grow out because it's not like
you...
Where
are you going to grow up?
It's not like you got the Grom as a like starter bike. You got it because it's fun.
Yeah.
So these are really labeled as being starter bikes, and I kind of resent that because for some people, it's a starter bike. But or it's just you like really light, nimble bikes that are huge.
You don't need 1100cc big boy and... Highway cruiser, you know?
No, or even just like the, you know, if you got like a Ninja 1000 or something. Like, if you're looking for something that's just smaller and lighter and you can easily get through traffic and it's, you know, doesn't take up a ton of room in your garage and all that kind of stuff, then one of these works for it. But in your case, so you've got the Grom, but now you're concerned about keeping up, right?
Yeah, that's the big concern is the Grom is an absolute riot to drive. I love riding it. But, like, even going up our hill with just me on it, 45 is kind of hard to maintain.
Oh, yeah.
Like it does it, but I'm not accelerating up any hills.
Yeah, good point. So, that thing, you can do about 55. I think I hit 60 on yours.
Yeah, about 50.
It was 60, or maybe it was Dylan's I hit 60 on. It was one 55. Of them that I was going a little bit downhill, and I managed to actually hit 60.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, I mean, you're not doing highway miles with it. You're pretty limited. Where it shines is just in fun.
Yeah,
like it pops wheelies like crazy.
It pops wheelies. It's very easy just to kind of roll through the gears and be like, oh, I'm going super fast. And you look down and you're doing 35.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the whole driving a slow car fast.
Yeah, it's definitely that. And it takes up no space.
Mm-hmm.
I love that about it because I have a bus and a BMW in my garage. Neither of them running. So being able to easily store the Grom is huge. But yeah, it's like it's just hard to, if you go riding with anybody else and they want to go a little bit quicker, you just can't keep up.
Right.
It sucks.
Right. That is a good point, yeah. Well, yeah, and like also with you know, if because the bike's so little, it's handy that you could suspend it from your ceiling if you wanted to, because it weighs basically nothing.
I probably
you could use like a bicycle hoist to have it like hanging up there. So that's one benefit. But the bikes that you're looking at are also pretty small statured, similar footprint to like this thing.
They're not very monstrous. Yeah, I'm looking at the CB300R, beautiful bike, which falls into that whole, was it the BMW G310 and the KTM 390 Duke?
Oh yeah,
Duke 390.
Yep,
they're all three kind of comparable, but the CB looks the best, I feel, and it's a Honda, so it'll just run forever.
Yeah,
no issues.
So the CB is a two cylinder, isn't it, or is it a one cylinder?
I believe it's a one cylinder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's a naked sport bike
for the most part.
Yes. Yeah, it's kind of a minimal fairing bike. So they have that cool look to them.
Yeah, they kind of have that
crazy light. It's another very light bike.
They kind of have that that Ducati look to them, mm-hmm. where it's very much, you can see the frame and everything. You see the skeleton of the bike, which I actually like.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things about this bike, is that it's got a trellis frame that you can see easily.
Really, the only downside is it's only 300 cc, not even, it's like 286, I believe.
Yeah.
So again, you're not keeping up with like big sport bikes, but you're easily going around town. You can easily go into the highway. Mm-hmm.
With that one, yeah, you're going to be able to do the highway very easily. Mm-hmm. And like, it's not going to be that scary. So like, when I picked this thing up, the salesman's like, you know, just if you get it up to highway speeds, you might be a little more uncomfortable. And I have to chuckle because I had the CT90 at 60 miles an hour. And I mean, a strong gust of wind on a 150-pound bike was was a ride. Yeah,
the Grom at 55, you just feel every little thing.
Yeah, and the CB300 is, I mean, it's probably comparable to this thing. I'd guess that it's around 300 to 350, somewhere in there. It's probably like 350 pounds. This one's 330
dry. I know, because I watched a little bit of a review video. I can't remember the exact numbers. But yeah, they were comparing it to the BMW and the KTM, and the CB was the lightest of the three of them.
Yeah, and I think it makes like 42 horse.
I think so. I say it was 40.
Because I was looking at them too, because it was in the same situation where it was like, I also didn't know if this was going to come in time, so I was just kind of checking all of my options, and the CB300 was one of my top contenders.
Well, and the price point on them.
What is the actual, is it $499.99 or something like that?
Yeah. Yeah, like $49.50, I think, is what it is.
Yeah, it's under $5,000 MSRP.
Yeah, which is nuts.
That's really good.
That's a good price for a bike.
It is. It's a damn good price. And considering the Groms are like $4,000 right now, I thought.
Yeah, after fees come in about $4,000.
Yeah, yeah. I don't remember what their MSRP is, but it's it's not a huge jump to the CB300.
Not really. It's an extra $1,500.
Yeah.
All said and done, probably.
Yeah. So the 300, you're pondering it, right? You haven't arrived at any decisions.
I've been weighing the pros and cons. Again, biggest pros of the Grom is that it's easily storable, mm-hmm. which is a major, major factor. And the fact that Harper can ride on the back of it.
Right.
Those two things matter a lot to me.
So, with the riding on the back of it, what you mean is that she can reach the foot pegs.
Yes. So Minnesota state law doesn't have a age requirement or technically even a height requirement. It's simply, can they reach both pegs flat-footed? Mm-hmm. Not tippy-toed, anything like that. I actually emailed the police department because I wanted to know for sure before I put my daughter on the back of it.
Oh, God, yeah. You don't want to take any chances.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, yeah, so long as she can reach them, she has a helmet on, she's good.
Mm-hmm.
And she can. So like, we're not doing busy streets.
That's
so
cool.
We're not going far. She wants to do a date night and take it down to go see a movie in Canal.
Your daughter does?
Yeah.
That's cute.
She's like, yeah, well, can we go take the motorcycle down to go see a movie?
That's so cute.
First off, like, I love the idea, but you're not there yet.
Yeah.
I'm not riding downtown with you on there until you're really, really comfortable being on the back of the bike.
Yeah, good point.
Like, let's aim for, like, end of summer, beginning of fall. Let's make that our target goal for this year, is get you comfortable enough and listening well enough to be able to do that. Because especially downtown with a lot more traffic, it's like the last thing I need to worry about is what you're doing behind me.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
And to be focused on people running stoplights or pulling out from parking spots or whatever.
Yeah, well, and that's a perfect segue into another thing that I wanted to talk about. So I had this thing out yesterday putting some miles on it because I'm braking in the engine right now. So it's all about like intermittent speeds and like stop go traffic and that kind of thing. It's good for braking an engine. So I'm heading down to Canal Park, which is in Duluth, Minnesota. Canal Park is sort of like the tourist hub. It's the spot that everybody wants to go to. It's where the big boats are. It's gorgeous.
The lighthouse, the bridge, all the fun stuff.
Yeah, all the big iconic Duluth spots are basically there. There's the lookout areas, you know, like there's the different stops that are on the highways around it that are beautiful, but they're all looking at Canal Park.
Yeah, Inger Tower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And basically, the view is of Canal Park, right?
If you need a visual, go all the way back to our very first episode for the Mischief Garage.
Oh, yeah.
We actually do a little segment overlooking Canal Park. Canal Park is our backdrop.
That's so true. That was a cool shot. So yeah, the very first episode that we did, it's the first Pit Cruisers episode, which is one of our best, one of our funnest videos.
It was a blast to do.
So yeah, it's at the very end. It's the outro. So so I was down in Canal Park just cruising, and so I got around the back of the deck, which is the Duluth Entertainment Convention Center, and I realized how packed it was down there. So I took Railroad Street, which kind of is parallel to the major interstate that runs right through the heart of Duluth, right? So I come around the backside of the deck, which is where all like the visitor or the touristy boats are, the sort of sightseeing stuff, right? And then I realized how busy Canal was. And once you're down there, once you're at that point, like you're kind of screwed. Because if it's
you're just kind of dealing with it.
Yeah. Once you get to that point, if it's busy down there, you're in it. You're there. I mean, you could try and do a U-turn and go back the other direction. But if there's enough cars coming at you, it's not working nice, especially on a little motorcycle or on a motorcycle. And that's where the movie theater is, where you were talking about going. So that'll give you guys an idea. So that's, if it gets busy down there, it's not something you want to ride down into with your daughter hanging off the back of it, with her not confident or not knowing, you know,
just
how to like lean with you and all that kind of stuff.
She's gonna learn that the whole, like, just, it's kind of hard to explain because like I can tell she's just trying to get comfortable constantly, mm-hmm. and I think everybody's like that on a bike. You're always just trying to be as comfortable as you can.
Oh yeah.
But just kind of feeling the road out, knowing the appropriate times, when to just, when not to, when to hang on tighter, when not to, all that kind of stuff. Because like we'd come to a stop sign, and all of a sudden I'd feel it just kind of go like this. Oops. she'd put her arms out. And I'm like, I get it. I get why you're doing that, but you still, I know we're stopped, but you still need to hang on. I'm like, in the event
the asshole
behind me bumps into us, in the event that I need to lurch forward real quickly or something like that, like, you still need to hang on to either me or the bike.
Yeah, you really do.
You can't just chill out because we're stopped. That's not how this works.
Oh, man, I know. Yeah, so
it's just the awareness, which will come in time. And that's why... Like, all the rides she's got, the two rides she's gotten to go on are just little short back road trips here and there, West Duluth.
Yeah, that's definitely the way to do it. I know I'm going to have to throw my son on the back of this thing and see how close his legs are, because I think he's going to be into it, but I want to ease him with everything, because he's still, you know, he's two, almost 3 years old.
Yeah, so he's got a
ways to go. He's got another year or two before I think he's really ready to take a full ride, but he's not too far off, so I ought to... You know, get him a little excited about it. Get the idea in his head.
Yeah, I could see Atticus just loving being on the back of a bike.
God, the kid's just car obsessed, so I'm sure he's...
just think it's the best thing in the world.
Yeah, I mean, his favorite thing to ride in is either my 4Runner or it's the truck, which these days he's really liking the truck. Because the 4Runner was hit, so it's been up at getting repaired. He gets a ride in, because it's a standard cab, so he gets a ride right up front with me.
Yep.
And the thing is kind of loud, so it's got the burbly exhaust, so he's, you know, it's a fun experience for him.
He gets to sit, like you said, sit up front with dad. Yeah. So I could see why he would just love that.
Yeah, he's into it. He likes the 4Runner because we drive it through mud and shit. We take it and go play around a little bit and whip shitties once in a while. But yeah, so when I was down in Canal Park, it was... I'd go as far as saying it's the busiest I've ever seen it.
Really?
So,
first nice day of the year.
I've had a sneaking suspicion that post-COVID, because, you know, I listen to a shitload of podcasts, and a lot of them are talking about places where it's like things are kind of opened up already. So I've listened to things like the Rogan podcast. I've listened to like Tom Segura's, like a lot of comedy ones. And a lot of those guys are traveling now. They're playing shows where they're able to, which is Florida and Texas, and, you know, like I think Arizona's pretty open, and they're talking about how crazy busy it is down there. The way people are spending money is insane. They're I don't remember who it was, but they're talking about how like the bar sold more in one night of liquor than they did in all of 2020.
Damn.
And I don't remember which big place this was. I think it was one of the places that I think Segura might have played or something like that.
That makes some sense, though.
I got a feeling the Roaring Twenties are about to happen.
Oh, I could see that.
as long as everything else opens up, I think people are going to react so strongly and be so excited to get back out and do things
that they just don't care anymore.
That they're just going to like party hardy. Yeah. They're going to have a blast. It's going to be much more YOLO than it ever has been. And I mean, for me,
I do have to take this.
Is that your wife?
It is the wife.
Uh-oh. So she's ready to pop any minute now.
Hello? Okay, it's working.
Nice.
So, okay. Hello? You good?
Hello? So it's kind of working.
Yeah.
You are not having a baby yet?
No, apparently her phone was acting up, so I just want to see if my phone's working.
Okay, that's cool. I mean, she's got to think about those kind of things, because if baby's on the way... you got to haul ass out of here. I thought that was going to be one of those moments where I was like, oh, on the podcast, are you going to have to like run out the door?
I was like, oh, yeah, it's working. And she's just like, okay.
Oh, I got a buzz in my pocket, too.
Anything else?
Okay.
We interrupt our current broadcast for
you. Just making sure that Christine wasn't texting me or something like that to be like, hey, there's a backup in case Donnie doesn't answer. No, I thought that was going to be one of those moments. It's like, you know, a little like gold video moments where it's like, oh my God, the baby's coming. And then you run out of here and then I can talk shit about you while you're gone.
Well, no, I take the camera with me. We've got to record the whole thing. We've got to bring the viewers with us.
Not safe for work. I can dig it. So that'll be on our OnlyFans where you can watch Donnie's second daughter, third child be born.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have a feeling that. As soon as things open up, that it's going to get pretty buck wild.
I think so too. Like we went down to a soccer game, and that's the first time in like a year and a half they've had fans there, and it was nuts.
Yeah, I believe it. People are just so excited to be out.
We get to do something. We get some form of normalcy again.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Yeah, and I completely get it. I think you're right. As soon as we're allowed to do stuff, it's just chaos.
Yeah, it's going to be
in a good
awesome.
Way. In a good kind of way, yeah.
I almost feel like because people in a lot of ways became really complacent leading up to this, like we were all so freaking comfortable. If you look back at that time, back 2019 and prior, like, yeah, whether you agreed with the political climate at the time, whatever, things were pretty linear and they're going really good. And, you know, like the economy was really, really strong, it sounds like. So everything was going great. And then... pandemic hits and everything gets completely shut down, stopped. Yeah. Supply chains are a mess. Everybody's anxious and panicked about the world and all this kind of shit. And then we've been stuck for a year, stuck indoors.
Yeah, just kind of this limbo.
Yeah, dude.
Mode.
And now that, especially up here, and now that it's starting to get nice, because we've all had cabin fever. We live in a place where you can't be outside all year round.
No. And
not every day, at least.
We only have 3 or 4 months of beautiful weather, and you kind of have to grab it by the balls and take advantage of it.
Yeah, well, and if in the South they're getting that crazy just because things are opening up. Anyway, I just think, like, we're entering, hopefully, a window of time where everyone's going to go, like, oh, life can be radically changed that easily. I need to go have fun, and I need to, like, take advantage of my time. And I hope that that's going to, like, I don't know, create a better, like, more optimistic society.
I would think so.
I hope.
I think people, like you said, are going to appreciate things a lot more. I mean.
I hope so. I will. I do.
Yeah.
You know, just like having people over yesterday, wife and I were just talking about like how wonderful it felt to finally get people together and hang out and let the kids play together. And it was a wonderful feeling. And after seeing Canal Park and all the smiling faces and like everybody's super excited to be out there. And it was awesome to see.
Yeah.
So my hope is that we're entering into a new era. Things might be a little different.
I do think you're right on that. But that's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, man. So what's, you know, I don't want to totally be like shit talking the pandemic 100%. I mean, fuck the pandemic.
Yeah,
if we could get rid of it,
right,
if it could have never been a thing, that would have been great. But there are a few positives
there
that are kind of funny.
you got to look at it. As like the glass kind of half full.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
you should. It's better for your health to think that way.
There are some things that came out of it that I think are positive. I love the fact that people making my food or serving my food have a mask and have gloves on.
Oh my god. Yeah. You know, unless you're going to the Anchor Bar, which is like the ultimate dive bar in Superior. Like the meat is just dirty. Like the person cooking it is getting the meat or getting their hands dirty from the meat.
Yeah.
You know, not vice versa. But if I go to like Hardee's, which I think, what is Hardee's and everywhere else?
Carl's Jr.
Yeah. If I go to something like that, like, yeah, the pimpled face high schooler, I'd prefer if they've got some sort of shield on their spitty, sweaty face.
Like, I think that's kind of a positive thing. Even some just like the way restaurants handle things now. Mm-hmm. Like, you and I went to that.
What was it?
At Rice. I can't think of what it's called. Thailand. Amazing Thailand.
Amazing Thailand.
And it's like, just scan the QR code and order your food and stuff like that. That was nifty.
Yeah, that was really, like, really slick.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Pull it up on your phone. You do the thing. You pick out what you want. And then
you just came back. It's like, submit. Oh, let me top off your drink for you and take your garbage.
Yeah.
Super slick.
Yeah, that was kind of handy. I love that, like, there was car side to go for a while there. And some places have kept it going. I know that that's a pain in the ass for the company or for the restaurant, but I really enjoyed that option because when you've got little kids, it's a huge pain in the ass to pull two kids out of the car just to go in, just to pay for your takeout and leave.
Exactly.
Car side was awesome.
So that's super sweet. I love the fact that so many places have hand sanitizer now.
Yeah.
Shouldn't we have had that to begin with? Like, when I walk to Walmart and I go to grab a shopping cart, shouldn't there be hand sanitizer there?
Yeah, potentially. You know, when you think about like flu season, it's not a bad idea to have stuff like that around. You know, like, I mean, I don't want to encourage us to become a country of hypochondriacs.
No.
But at the same regard, like, yeah, just washing your goddamn hands or using hand sanitizer occasionally is going to go a long way to
A long way.
Yeah, you're probably going to kill a few less grandmas and give a few less kids RSV.
Yeah.
So it's not a bad thing to, you know, have those things in place.
So, like, just some of that stuff is just, like, let's keep that.
Yeah.
We need to keep that.
Yeah, there are definitely, like, some standout things that were sort of positives that came out of it. I love, like, that a lot of jobs are now doing sort of telecommuting. Yeah, it's much more normalized. And I know that that doesn't really apply for laboring type jobs or assembly or
screwed
whatever.
Out of that deal. I tried to, like, talk to my boss. I'm like, can I just take my truck home?
Yeah.
And he looked at me like, no.
Yeah, that's not so much an option.
I have a garage.
I mean, if you ever had, like, trainings or anything that were done on computers, maybe a little more likely to let you do it at home. I don't know. But in my instance, like, so I manage a team of mental health practitioners. Basically, they're mental health practitioners. And I do a fair amount of office stuff, so it's really nice for me to be able to do some stuff at my house and my home office and some stuff up at my main office. And, like, I've been able to take my main office up, my office space up at our building and sort of tailor that a little bit more to the other employees because it's not so much like mine anymore. And it's nice to be able to do that. It's just been very beneficial in a lot of ways.
Well, and from a company standpoint, if they can have you use your own bathroom, your own water, your own electricity to do a job that they're paying for, they're saving money too.
Dude, you think about how much some businesses were able to scale down. Like, they were going from having big office spaces to some places being like, okay, everybody's working from home now. Here's your laptop.
Yep. Oh,
and make sure that you've
computer,
got, you know, internet working at home and stuff like that. And then, and then they're just like, well, okay, now we don't need this massive office space that costs us $15,000 a month or whatever it is for some of these places.
Yeah, and I think the only reason why companies weren't doing that was just that fear of, like, oh, if people are at home, they're not going to do their job.
Yeah.
And I think companies are starting to realize, like, oh, it doesn't matter. People are going to get their shit done.
Yeah, exactly.
We
if you
need
set
to
a deadline,
everybody.
Set a deadline for people. If they don't meet it, you address it as a performance problem.
Exactly.
I mean,
the meetings will continue until you get your shit done.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So there were a couple of perks, but all in all, I'd still rather the pandemic fuck right off and we go back to life.
Fuck off.
Yeah, man. So I don't know. I'd say, like, let's get back to working on the Ford and let the people, if they're watching it on Monday morning, you can put your dick back in your hand. You can finish your morning constitution.
Yeah, you can finish playing with the bean if you're a female.
Yeah, flicking it. Whatever you got to do. I don't know what, how that works. They think they literally flick it.
I don't know.
I don't know. It depends if you're a... I can't think of the word. So if you guys, thanks you guys very much for joining us on another episode of the Brewers of the Dudes podcast. Hopefully we're not going to have too many other gaps. We had a couple of hiccups. He's going to have a baby any day now. It's going to come out of, he's got a pocket right here on the side. He's kind of like a marsupial, but it's like the pocket is under his arm. Like kind of right in here.
It's like an under boob flap.
Yeah, it's it looks like a vagina, but it's like it's an way armpit less vagina.
Way less fun.
Well, I mean, it depends.
About the same moisture level, but
okay. Thanks a lot, guys. We will see you next week.